Start your engines! Oh, this'll be good.
This is the Scrapyard.
A big welcome back to the Scrapyard. Gianna visited earlier in the life of the show, and realizing it's been a while since we've talked about the whole Warcraft space, but we, you know, we're all excited about where we were up to in the early days of Battle for Azeroth. So curious to see where we're at now. Gianna, thank you for coming back.
Oh, thank you for having me. No, I think last time we spoke, I don't think I'd even hit level 120 back then. So now it's definitely changed a lot. Yeah. I think I was still going through playing all the quests and going through all the lore of all the zones, because that's what I really loved when the game came out. So yeah, definitely a lot of things have changed since then. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, I think one of the things that has kept, we'll kind of get into the nitty gritty, but so far for me as well, I feel like I've mostly just really been enjoying exploring exploring all the story elements. I don't think I've done any like LFR stuff. I don't hardcore raid at all, but I've done a few dungeons and things, but I really got focused in on unlocking my Dark Iron. And then when I did, I spent some time leveling this Dark Iron monk that I was so keen to have in my mix of characters. and because I want the battle armor, goes with leveling it properly rather than just giving it the boost, because I just love the idea of having this, like, you know, heritage armor, heavy plate, Dark Iron monk guy. I got that stuck in my brain, and it meant I've been doing a lot of that. But I have, I've only got the one 120 so far. So I've kind of done the full extent of available story on the Alliance side. And I'm only about halfway through on the, and it's not that I'm not enjoying it, but I'm really digging the Horde story stuff in those zones as well. I think actually over the last probably 6 weeks or so, I've just run out of time to be able to kind of keep pushing. And I was really trying to finish off getting Proudmore Admiralty all the way through so I can unlock Kul Tiran's, because I really want that druid form of like the cool Wicca kind of crazy beast things that are going on with those guys. I've probably been focusing way too much on unlocking Exalteds rather than just playing the rest of the game.
Oh, Seamus, there's a lot to unpack with what you've just said. Like, there is so much to unpack. First of all, Dark Iron Dwarves are super cool. But one thing I have to say is that I'm just like, it's super lame for me as a shaman player that the only option for me on the Alliance side is a space goat, a panda, or a tiny, like, stinky little dwarf with fire hair. That makes me really cranky. And so I refuse to do the Dark Iron questline just because I'm like, no, I'm waiting for Blizzard to give me an actual cool race that I can use with my shaman. But I admire that you're leveling it from level one up. But a monk of all things, a Dark Iron monk that lives in a cave?
Yeah. See, look, for me, it's, well, part of the choice is the idea that I don't have a monk on my Alliance side. But I do kind of like, I've liked that idea of just, trying to pick a class that didn't really match the plate armor heritage stuff that, that I'll unlock. So,
Bit of a mismatch.
It's probably a weird choice, but, I've just been to, it was either that or a mage, because again, just that idea of wearing plate armor but being a mage, I thought that would be a pretty cool look.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It sounded like you're not completely dismissing my craziness. So I really
dismissing it. No, I can see what connection you've made there, because it's so like disjointed. I can see you're trying to do with it. I can see that, but man, you're really weird sometimes.
Well, that's what I aim to do.
Surprises.
What have been some of your favorite beats and different things in your experience so far?
Well, I'm shocked that you haven't done LFR, because I feel like you're missing out on a whole lot of lore. I mean, are you up to date with what's happening between the Zandalaris and the Kul Tirans?
Yeah, so I did. I've talked about this on a previous show, but I did spend quite a lot of, so I broke my collarbone over the holidays.
Oh, no.
And so I spent a lot of time lying on a couch trying to sleep because I couldn't really lie down properly and ended up watching a lot of Method's Push for World First when, you know, when this, the Dazzalore mythic rating kind of opened up. So it means, well on top of kind of the storylines attached to the latest raid and things like that. I feel like I haven't been keeping up with where the Horde is at with all the Sylvanas stuff because that is that area where I'm like, can we hurry up and get to that point where I don't have to feel bad about how horrible they've made Sylvanas so far in this storyline. Is she going to get a redemption or is she going to just turn out to be crazy villain that we all hope that she hasn't been just turned into. But aside from those sort of elements, I have been keeping up on some of the story beats that have been going.
Oh, well, thank
but
God for
you're
that.
Totally right as well because, like, the story stuff attached to the raid, totally correct. I really do need to kind of get that, get myself in gear and play through because it sounds like, like having watched some of it, I really do want to play through that experience of that raid because I love the idea of how they even, race swap people and kind of give you that, the different experiences. And particularly having put in all that work of turning our, like, gorilla friend on the Alliance side and kind of turning him into this giant, awesome kind of fighting machine. And then he kind of fights and then he gets killed and then he gets pitted back against us and like, oh man, that is actually a really cool idea for how to make us be really upset about what happened.
I really liked how you can play like as Alliance or as Horde and that it's different for either side. Like I've never seen something like that before. So when I first played through the raid on LFR and suddenly I was playing as a Horde character, seeing it from the other perspective, I was really shocked. I was like, oh, actually maybe the Alliance aren't as good as I've always kind of spouted that they are, because I've kind of always had this idea that the Horde are bad and the Alliance are good, and this is not really it is perpetuated by this continuing story arc with Sylvanas that you kind of touched on earlier, because I think since the whole betrayal of Varian Wrynn, which wasn't really a betrayal but it kind of was but it wasn't, the Alliance have always viewed the Horde in this super negative way, and then after the burning of Teldrassil we've really viewed Sylvanas in a very negative way. So it will be interesting to see if she does get a redemption. But wait, can I talk about spoilers on this show? Is it okay?
That's fine.
I'll just say there was a bit of a spoiler, I can say.
Yeah. We're a long way into this this series. Like, if you haven't caught up by this point in the expansion,
Okay, well,
go for it.
I think that Sylvanas kind of has shot herself in the foot with raising Derek Proudmoore, who's Jaina Proudmoore's brother. She rose him as a Forsaken and, put the blight into him and all that to try and use him against Jaina. And I think that has really turned out badly for her because, of course, Bane Bloodhoof, the Tauren leader, has returned Derek to Jaina as an act of redemption, I think, on his part, because he senses that Sylvanas has done something wrong. Like, it was wrong to raise, to go diving deep in the sea to find Derek Proudmoore's brother and then raise him as a Forsaken, which is obviously one of the worst things that can happen in the eyes of a human or as an Alliance person. And then to return him then to Jaina, I think Bane has done the right thing, but you can see that Bane isn't agreeing with what the Horde is doing, and he senses this sickness that Sylvanas is bringing to the Horde. So I don't know if there's going to be some master plan perhaps that Sylvanas is going for, but we'll see. I don't think so. I think Sylvanas is just going to turn out to be an evil banshee queen, which is what she is and is what people praise her to be.
And, I feel like they nailed the nuance isn't even the right word, right? Like in Legion, we really did have that moment, as you say, where when you saw what took place from the two different sides, saw that people had to do what they did in that moment. Yeah. There was no option, but of course both sides then felt more tension and more animosity towards each other because of what happened.
Yeah.
And particularly then when, when you then sort of as Alliance go kind of chasing the the Horde into Stormheim sort of during Legion. It was, you know, like it created all these great moments where you go, yeah, both sides believe what they're doing is right. And that's been the problem in this expansion was, you know, the fact that they hid, you know, ooh, who burns down Teldrassil? Like they kind of hid it for so long and tried to make out like it was going to be a clever thing that, you know, and there was almost, I almost feel like it would have been, you know, a potentially more fascinating storyline if we did go down the idea of maybe like, you know, did Greymane do it in order to create this false flag fight? And, you know, there were all these kinds of theories beforehand of how will they make it complicated? And then instead it really was just like, yeah, Sylvanas just burnt it to the ground because she's really mean. And, you know, and she just wanted to destroy all hope. And you're like, oh, my God, that's actually not even remotely nuanced. But then, you know, there have been beats within the Horde storyline, I know, where, you know, players have been able to make certain choices about whether or not they're going to help or whether they're going to, you know, kind of start trying to help this kind of, you know, secondary side of the Horde leadership, trying to kind of take back a bit of their control and their honor, right? And, like, that's an important part of the whole Horde story. But even with just little seeds of that, it's still just, yeah, it feels like, yeah, for someone who, yeah, I think Sylvanas has always been really kind of liked for how well she rides that line between, you know, being bad in order to achieve her aims. And I loved, like, that cinematic at the start of Battle for Azeroth. I adored that moment when, you know, she, her scream of for the Horde was like the best you'd ever seen. You're like, hell yeah, like she's gonna really show the Horde like what it means to stand up for yourself. And it was like, oh wait, no she's just she's just being really evil.
Can I confess something to you, Seamus, just quickly? I know for a fact that I was not alone in this, but when I watched that trailer, that cinematic, that For the Horde, For the Alliance, I cried. Not even joking. When Anduin rose up and he's like, For the Alliance, literally I had tears on my face. I was like, yes, this is it. This is World of Warcraft. This is what it's about. The Horde versus the Alliance. We're back to the basics. We're back to the roots. And that I really do adore.
Yeah. I'm totally there with you. I mean, you know, because it's, again, you know, when this is something that, you know, we've all kind of, you know, loved for more than a decade now, you know, the 15th anniversary is coming soon.
Oh, God,
you know, we're heading towards 25 years of all of Warcraft as a thing, you know. It's like there's so much of this where you sort of see those beautiful cinematics and you absolutely kind of, you know, feel that in your gut of like, oh yeah, this is this thing I've cared about for so long, and look at them nail this moment.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I'm really hoping we get, you know, I mean, 8.2 is clearly, this is that next step is meant to be where we will start to hopefully have that turning point where the old guards start to reemerge. You know, we've got, you know, what's her name, Lady? Is it Lady Vashtir?
Lady Vash from Burning Crusade, right?
The Naga Queen. Yeah, it's like I just somehow
quick,
I keep,
quick Google oh,
Queen as Shara.
As Shara, what are we talking? No, Vashtir. Sorry,
yeah, she was Vashtir the other
is
one.
The place.
Yeah.
No, I think Vashtir is that underwater zone or something.
Yeah, look at us, the you know, the legendary
lore
nerds.
We're on the right track, the Nagas. Yeah, we're just getting too excited. There's just too much knowledge to be had, Seamus,
So that is going to be really cool, you know, because, again, like we had, and I think this is part of where it's felt slower than I'd hoped because, you know, we had the Warbringers, you know, cinematics, which had, you know, we had, Jaina, we had Sylvanas, we had Ashara, but... like, that's a long time ago now compared to waiting for 8.2 to sort of have her now reemerge hopefully soon. Like, I think the PTR for 8.2 will go up kind of soon. And that was, you know, then people will start to kind of, you know, data mine the hell out of that and work out what's happening. But, yeah, it's just felt like a slow turn to that point where we will start to kind of see what happens when that external big bad thing reemerges. And how will, you know, how will that leadership shift, or, you know, will that, like, the thing I'm kind of hoping for, and this is, again, just totally making things up, off the top of my head of how do they redeem Sylvanas in some way. And, you know, my only thought is, you know, is she going to turn out to be that moment where you go, she's the only one bad enough to deal with the next big bad thing that arrives, you know, like that she's willing to do what no one else Whatever is willing to do in the name of defeating, you know, the next thing. And because apart from that, I'm like, apart from that, it feels like, it does feel like, you know, another, you know, just another case where we're like, oh, now we have to depose another Horde leader for turning really bad. And it's like, but that's, you know, can we have, for all my friends who are hardened Horde people, like, can they have a bit of stability and, again, that restoration of their love of the honour of the Horde, and that's what the Horde is all about?
Yeah.
So I hope we can get to that point soon. But with all that said, like, I'm still, I've really been enjoying the setting and the quest lines and the way that the story has kind of been put together. I just feel like that kind of end game phase of kind of really feeling like we're still progressing and heading towards this cool resolution of where do we, you know, how do we find, you know, everything falling into place for this current sort of sense of conflict before it's just like, oh, now there's a bigger thing to worry about.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's what I'd hate for it to just be like, oh, we'll just put our differences aside again. You know, like, but these are some pretty big differences right now. You burned down a world tree.
Yeah, you raised Jaina's brother to be a Forsaken. Like, that's not a particularly nice thing to do. You almost killed Malfurion, but didn't. But,
yeah, it's like, it's this just, is seriously not cool.
like, and I think they are taking steps in the right direction. Like I mentioned earlier, like, you know, Bane has, you know, I mean, first off, Sao Fang, when he was supposed to kill Malfurion, like, he was supposed to stab him in the back or whatever, and he didn't because he realized that was a dishonorable thing to do.
Yeah.
And then Bane Bloodhoof now has returned Derek Proudmoore to her brother and taken him before he was able to be turned into Sylvanas's, you know, crone or whatever. And I think that there are elements in the Horde leadership that are trying to take steps in that direction. But again, like, that's been done. Like, it's been done. We've seen that hundreds of times before. And, you know, going back to what you were saying about the old gods, I mean, the only other thing that I can think of with Sylvanas that they might do is like, oh, maybe she's being influenced by the old gods. Maybe that's why she's kind of taken that leap off and really become a bit more dishonorable than she was before. But then again, it goes back to this thing where people like Sylvanas because she's evil. She's open about it. She doesn't care who she kills or why she kills them. She's just evil and she's open about it. And people like that about her, especially a lot of Horde players like that about her. And so I don't know if we're going to see her bring any mercy to the table at all, really.
Yeah. And look, yeah, I have loved the quotes from some of the like really hardened undead players who I think when a lot of this sort of debate was first starting, some of them basically turned around and said, what did you think she was? You know, like, for them it was like, yeah, that's right, she's our Banshee Queen and she's about to, like, yeah, she's causing some serious. It's like, yeah. It's like, I just loved that sort of attitude from at least one slice of that Horde community going, yeah, she's evil.
Yeah, they so like it cool. though. Like, they're into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see the new raid, The Crucible of Storms. You know, that comes out on April 16th, I believe.
Oh, is that how close that is now?
Yeah.
Okay, that is exciting.
Yeah, but that's but it's only got like two bosses, I think. So it's going to be exciting. But that's when we're really going to see more about the old gods and Ashara.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited. I think that's going to open a few more eyes, our eyes, that is, to see what's going to happen in the future.
Completely. And, you know, I think because, yeah, there's, and like you, when you were talking about some of that old god influence stuff, there's the whole sort of look at the fact, remember there was the images. Again, I haven't seen the very latest stuff on that Horde side. I don't know if Sylvanas is carrying the, you know, Blade of the Black Empire, which the priests were carrying in Legion, like Shadow Priests Legion.
I'm not sure. Because I'm a diehard Alliance player, so I purposefully stay out of the Horde side of things. So that I'm not sure. That would be interesting,
Because, there was images from back at BlizzCon last year where that was sort of starting to project forward and it showed – showed artwork of Sylvanas carrying that blade instead of carrying her bow. And that
actually.
It was like, ooh, yeah. What's that mean? So you're right. There's definitely a bit of interesting stuff there with, you know, okay, she's definitely messing with Void and the shadows sort of realm. So that'll be interesting. But of the 8.2 stuff, I thought we'll touch on a couple of the things that are going on there. I'm curious in terms of zones, are you excited by the Naga zone or the fact that we're also hearing about getting what apparently will be a quite substantial zone of Mechagon?
I'm really excited for Mechagon, honestly, but mainly because this is, from what I know, going to have a lot of really cool profession-based stuff. Because right now I feel that professions are kind of really secondary in this expansion. Like, I haven't even bothered to level up my engineering. And, you know, they in 8.1 or 1.5, you know, they changed how you can level up your professions. Like, it's a lot easier now than it was. Like, it's only the 100, 150 points, whatever it is. It's a lot easier than getting, you know, having to do Draenor leveling and Outland leveling and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and like I said, like, I've kind of put my professions on the wayside. Like, personally, I have enchanting and I have engineering. And don't laugh at me, but I only have engineering for the mount, for the motorbike, and also for Jeeves, for the repairs. That's it. That's the only reason I have it. So
it's fine. I'm not laughing at you. I think that is a perfectly reasonable decision to make.
Yeah. I just, like, there's no, like, I know there's not that much utility with engineering, but considering that we're going to Mechagon, maybe there'll be some cool engineering stuff in there, which I would really like, might actually give me a reason to level it. But secondly, like, enchanting, like, again, like, I just kind of feel like enchanting's, it's secondary. Like, if you're not enchanted, it's like, oh, whatever. Like, no one really cares as much as they used to. And I'm excited to see that grow.
Have you heard the kind of the rumor around people thinking about what Mechagon might be pointing towards in future in terms of a new class in the next expansion?
No.
As well as new race? There's a lot of people kind of really, really kind of, I think, doing a good job of just rumor milling, but it is the idea that we might get the Tinker class in the next expansion. Because that's cool. You know, a class from way back in the old, you know, Warcraft RTS kind of times.
Yeah.
And that maybe we'll get an offshoot race of, you know, Mecha Gnomes as kind of, you know, as what would be, I guess, the gnome secondary race. What have we been calling them? Allied race, yeah. So that could, yeah, that's an interesting rumor. I like that, just that little bit of theory throwing around there of going, okay, we're going to go to this zone now. Like, there's all these people been trying to pull out other little clues as to whether or not there might be hints out there that Tinkers might be that next class.
Well, that's really
kind
cool.
Of interesting.
Yeah, like, that's something that would be really awesome, actually. I haven't heard anything about that. Now I'm going to have to look it up after we finish here.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, just a couple of those random seeds I've bumped into in forums. Mm-hmm. You're like, ooh, okay. Like, again, yeah, I'm not going to kind of, yeah, go digging too much because I'm like, I don't want to ruin the idea of if we do get a cool final reveal, but I like the theory and I like sitting on vague theories without them becoming true spoilers, because it's just some people throwing ideas around. I love that.
Yeah. I kind of avoid those a lot because I don't want to accidentally be spoiled. Like, so, you know, sometimes you'll read something so outlandish and you'll be like, oh, that's ridiculous. Like, that could never happen. And then it's like, oh, actually, it did happen. Then I'm like, damn it. Like, I wish I hadn't have read it, because then I would have been more shocked and more surprised. So I'm one of those people where I, like, kind of purposefully avoid that kind of stuff. But back to 8.2, there is one thing I want to touch on, and I'm very excited that they're going to go back to the old outdoor content systems, because I think that Blizzard realized that they're really kind of struggling with some of the world quests and, like, loot, ways people can get loot in the expansion. Like, for example, I don't know if you've done them, because you say you haven't played too much at the max level, but have you done War Fronts at all?
Yeah, just a few, yeah.
They're not that great.
No.
I'm sorry, Blizzard. They're just not that great. They take a lot of time. It can take half an hour, 40 minutes, and you get one piece of gear from it. You know, that's too much time for too little reward. And I think that I'm very excited to read that they're going to do heroic war fronts. I think that that's going to be very exciting, and that they're going to allow us to team up as well. So we're going to be able to go with our guild or go with a couple of friends and team up and take on a war front together. And I think that will make it a lot more interesting than right now, people just going in and AFKing.
Yeah, that is, yeah, that's definitely one of the big problems right now is the extra effort you have to put in when you realize that there's, you know, five people just AFK back at the base. And you're like, that's not right. They should get booted somehow because it should be pretty obvious that they're not contributing anything to the effort right now.
But also then it's like, it's so easy as well. Like you can, that's the trouble. Like you can AFK and you can still kind of win if you let the bots, like the lanes just do their own thing. Like, and that I kind of disagree with, because I, when they first came out, I was really excited. I was like, oh, this is a bit like Dota or whatever. And like, I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I was like, oh, this is lame, because I can literally just run around in a circle killing stuff in a mine and, you know, contributing my resources and then we win. But then I feel like I've kind of wasted my time a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of back to what we were speaking about before. I think the show started. We were talking about island expeditions, because I've not done them. I've done the required ones to unlock them, and that's it. I haven't done any, but apparently they're really good for getting gear, and there's mounts and there's lore and there's all this stuff in there that I had no idea about. And I wish that like more effort had been put on that, like more emphasis was put on island expeditions for people like me, who I don't really raid at the end, like end raid that much. Like I do LFR and whatnot, and I do some mythics, I suppose, but if I didn't realize that island expeditions were that I didn't realize that that was an avenue that I could really tap for gear and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think, look, you know, because last year I got to go to Blizzard and get an early kind of bit of hands-on time with island expeditions and things, and that was really fun. And it's just, it kind of just wasn't that thing that I've spent much time doing. Again, it's probably because I just haven't spent a lot of those evenings in the game where I haven't had a specific thing I was trying to get done. Whereas, you know, I know if I was playing, you know, a few more nights a week, I'd be, you know, probably be sitting there, oh, no, why not? I'll go and do some expeditions. But I really like the idea that they are sort of trying to talk about some new things that might start happening. You know, apparently, you know, it might be that there's a few more kind of Naga themed things going on in expeditions, kind of as that sort of side of things starts to ramp up in the story. They're also talking about the idea of an explore mode, which I think would be quite cool. Just to be able to go and kind of, you know, check out what, you know, the maps, and even if it was partly trying to just learn, okay, how do I, you know, really navigate these maps in a smarter way? Because again, when you're on the clock and you're just trying to win an expedition, you have to play it a lot to sort of learn your way around it really efficiently, whereas it would be fun to just be able to go and look around. And apparently there might even be some kind of Magni-type story things that might kind of get dropped into expeditions. So
Magni,
so,
the MVP, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like really going to be interesting to see, you know, how they sort of try to kind of entice us a little bit more to head into that space. But I think as like as a part of the, you know, as a new concept, I think it's definitely feels more successful than the war fronts have been, in that, it's very optional, but if you take that option that there are fun things you can do and that there are kind of cool stuff you can get, and, you know, win or lose, the timer is relatively short, you know, compared to the war front type thing of just, chip away for a long time and hope you get something worthwhile.
I like that Blizzard has kind of listened to players in that way, though. I think that they, like in this expansion, I feel like they are kind of turning a new leaf where they are kind of listening a lot to what people like and what people don't like. I mean, like obviously, like in some past expansions that things kind of stagnated, like say Warlords of Draenor, I think we went over a year with no new content. And it was, you know, World of Garrison Craft there for a while, which I didn't mind. I still have my garrison. I visit it regularly just to, you know, reminisce.
I just keep churning out some Hexweave now and then so I can keep making bags.
Yeah, see, that's me. Well, I often go to, I mean, I'll admit something about me about spending my time in WoW, but I often farm sumptuous fur in Negrand and in Draenor. Yeah, so I often just go back to my garrison and then I'll go off and do my fur hunt farming to make my goblin glider kits, which is the only other useful thing that I make with engineering. That's the only thing. And that makes me all my gold, basically. But yeah, as I said, like, I think that Blizzard are really listening to the player base here, and, you know, they are starting to tune things and change things and really make it a more enjoyable experience, because I think they really have to, with Classic coming out soon. They, you know, if they want to keep the player base up and they want people to go to Classic, they really need to keep it interesting and keep it fun.
And it's a good point that I think they've been using live streams really effectively from the dev team to you know, communicate really clearly about what's coming up. And, you know, they can't always answer every question everybody would love them to answer, but I think they do a pretty good job of keeping that information coming, and even just to acknowledge when they know something isn't as good as they'd like it to be, and that they hear that people aren't liking certain aspects. I think pretty early on, exactly, pretty early on they said, okay, yeah, we hear you, Azeroth isn't as good as we'd hoped, and we're working on it. And as much as it's taken a while, you know, we're getting to that point now where the Azeroth overhaul is definitely going to come with 8.2 as well. And I think they've, you know, again, it's taken a while, but just by clearly saying, okay, we hear you, we're going to work on it, we're going to fix what's going on around it, it's just, you know, I think doing a much better job of really making people know that they're being heard, not to just ignore it or dismiss it until they finally go, oh, and hey, we've fixed that thing. It's like, yeah, just tell it, even if it's going to take a while, just tell us that you know, and that makes it feel better.
And also it means that we're not sitting here for months being like, hey, this actually Azeroth system is really not very fun. Like, I don't like it. I hate being locked out of my own armor that I have. Like, I'm sitting here looking at my traits that, you know, I'm only Azeroth level 35 or something, and I've got gear that's, like, you know, much higher than that, and it's, and I can't access it, and that's not fun. Because then all I can think of is how many hours I have to put in to unlock those traits. And look, that's fine for some people, and that's absolutely fine, but it's not accessible for me. And I feel like that's actually not accessible for a lot of the player base who are casual players.
It's a really good point, that one, because of the fact that you can have that tension of, you know, you've worked hard enough in the game to be able to get pieces of armor that are of a high enough level that they have this higher Azeroth requirement, but you haven't done enough to have fought your way to that Azeroth level, you know, and it's, it shouldn't have that tension attached to gear.
Yeah, and I shouldn't have to be playing, you know, 4 hours a day to level up my Azeroth to a certain, you know, so to a certain degree, so that I can use the armor that I've rightfully acquired from killing bosses. Like, come on, like, that's not fun at all. But so I'm excited that they're changing that. I'm really glad that they've listened. Like, that's really excellent. But again, like, I'm just glad that they are listening and they're not just kind of stagnating until the release of Classic, because I was worried that that was going to happen. Like, they just, you know, let everything stagnate, let everything sit there, and the players get more and more frustrated, and then suddenly they're like, oh wait, here's vanilla WoW, you know, that'll make the players happy, you know. So I'm glad that they're actually doing something to change it.
And so, look, they haven't actually confirmed exactly when flying will unlock. They have not said that it's going to unlock right at the same time as 8.2 or anything like that. But they have said that flying will include Nazjatar. Mechagon. So that's at least that's cool, because, of course, last couple of expansions, you know, we've gone to, when we went off to the planet that was blowing up. the homeworld of the Burning Legion. Where the space goats are from.
Then you had to get the rep, and then you had to do the quest lines.
We couldn't fly there. So
I never got flying.
During Legion. So, I like the idea that, you know, that those final zones will include flying, so that once you unlock flying, you'll be able to fly in those new zones as well. I'm like, it's nice to know that there will be a kind of a more complete sense of flying in the next, by the end of this expansion. That's kind of cool, you know.
I'm excited because I have Pathfinder 0.1. For the first time ever, part one, I mean. Yep. For the first time ever, I've actually completed part one, and I'm, like, actually kind of chomping at the bit to get flying. I'm like, come on. Like,
so Do you have Warlords of Draenor flying, given that you go and I do
mine have sumptuous fur?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I do have that. Oh, my God, it would take far too long to farm my sumptuous fur.
I was thinking, oh, my God, that's really hard work if you have it unlocked.
Oh, yeah. No, but I never got it in – I didn't get it in Legion. But it did kind of bite me in the bum a little bit when I got that new mount, you know, the Hive Mind.
Yeah, yeah. You know, oh my God, you've got that. Yeah. Oh, that is
I do
cool.
have it. Yeah, when it first came out, I was like, I must, because, you know, I'm a mount collector.
Yes,
so I was like,
exactly.
I must get this mount. So I really, like, I spent like a week, like, you know, I got my, you know, the eyeglass things and whatever, and I did it. But when you have to go to Suramar and do all the final bits, like, I was really slowed down because I had to griffin to the thing, and then I had to run through Suramar. Literally, yeah. Then you have to transform into like the elves, and then like it just took ages. And everyone else was like, "Why don't you just fly from Dalaran?" And I was like, "Because I don't have flying, okay?" And you know, it's too late now. Like, I'm just
don't judge
up.
Me.
Yeah, literally. but I got the mount in the end, so that's all right.
Good work. That's it. You know, you earned that in a way that other people did not.
Yeah, I had to go through a lot of very annoying effort and dodging guards and worrying, getting, you know, people spotting me. And oh, it was just, yeah, it was more. And then there was a million people getting it at the same time as me, of course. So it was almost impossible to get through the gateway. Like, you just had to auto run. Anyway, it's just, we won't go into it. It was an ordeal. But yeah. I'm glad I did it. Yeah.
So the other big thing that's worth flagging is the cool new transmog options that are going to come in 8.2, where you'll basically, instead of only being helm and cape, you'll be able to make every other item invisible except your pants.
I mean, I'm just wondering, like, how many people will actually just transmog to be running around in their undies. I feel like there's going to be... I feel like there'll be like a subset of like ironic people, like who are like max geared, like level, like eye level 400 million, and they're going to be running around naked with like a little shitty dagger or something like that, you know? And I feel like that's going to be like a meme in itself because, you know, they can hide all this epic level armor that they have. But, you know, like we discussed before the show started, like, it's cool that if you're playing a warrior or something, you can go shirtless and really go, you know, full Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, charge, I really into like that.
That's really cool. I like that.
Yeah. Or, you know, I think, yeah, being able to show off a cool shirt, you know, that maybe you're like a cool rogue piratey vibe and you just want to have like your cool pirate shirt billowing rather than having some piece of armor that's, you know, covering up the cool shirt that you worked really hard to unlock, or, you know, whatever it might be. So I do think some of that is going to open up some, I guess isn't it? It's options for the your internal lore of your character. You know, it's going to sort of allow you to play with that a little bit more in terms of how you look when you're in the midst of battle.
I'm just kind of expecting some people to like walk in like suspenders and like, you know, the tartan shirts, you know, the lumberjack shirts.
Oh,
I'm kind of expecting and like a little axe. Like, I'm expecting, like, I think role players are really gonna love this. I mean, I think
Bingo.
That's gonna be, but I think but I really think that I think it's really cool. I think that I'll definitely be utilizing some of it because I know that I hate having my belt showing. I think the belt is some, it's always like the ugliest part of my armor. Like, it's so ugly, and it never matches the rest of my transmog. So I'm excited that I'll be able to like hide all that, or hide, you know, my ugly shoulders or something like that. And, you know, like I told you earlier, I got Precious's ribbon from Ice Crown Citadel, and when I got that in the same run as I got Invincible's Reins, which is the mount from the final boss of the Witch King, which is very rare. And so I felt like I was like, I always wear Precious's ribbon because now it's like my good luck charm because I got both of them in the same run.
Nice.
And I can't even show it off because it's just hidden beneath all my gear. So,
but soon you will.
Yeah, I'm glad. Finally. Yeah.
All right. So let's just touch on the other cool bits that are coming up soon in the world, in all things Warcraft. We've got WoW Classic coming. You are hyped, are you not?
Oh, I'm so hyped. You know, I've been playing WoW since, you know, 2005 or late 2004, whenever it was. And, oh, God, like it's, I'm so excited to go back, because how many times have we sat there and been like, you guys don't know what it was like. You don't know what it was like not being able to mount until you were level 40. And it took you months to get there, you know, and then, you know, so you're running on foot, and by God, how many hours we must have sunk into that game, just running around doing quests, and there were no quest helpers. And I played a warlock, so I had to farm my soul shards. Before raids, I used to have to sit there, yeah. And I would go to certain, like, I would go underneath Dalaran, and I would just farm shards off people. Oh God, it was a different time.
Yeah.
And I'm just so excited. I cannot wait for it to come back.
So, yeah. So you like the hard work side of it, right? Like,
because, I do.
Yeah. I mean, I did an episode with Josh, who runs the Countdown to Classic podcast. Mm. And, you know, he's all about that whole, yeah, idea of people really wanting that, you know, wanting that extra challenge attached to the way they play the game. And even, I guess, the kind of the social and the community aspects that were attached to, you know, needing to kind of, you know, when it was harder to team up, it meant you really needed to build closer bonds with, you know, people on your server and your guild and things like that.
I mean, I'm still friends, like, on Facebook and whatnot with a bunch of people who I played WoW with back then, you know, back in 2005, 6, 7, you know, we were raiding Burning Crusade, and we really did form a bond, because you were sitting there, like, every night spending time with the same people. You know, there was no cross-realm. Grouping. There was no cross-realm raiding. I remember when LFR was introduced, and when cross-realm heroics were introduced, and I was like, oh my God, this is so much easier to do my daily heroic now, because I can just get it from everyone. But it wasn't the same. Like, I remember, like, having to sit there and trade chat and being like, you know, LF3M for heroic Violet Hold or whatever it was. And it was just, you know, and being like, oh, no, we don't want a warlock. No, we want a mage because we need the ice block, or we need this. We need to crowd control, and we need to, you know, like, there was a lot more thought that went into it, rather than just like, oh, we can take any healer, any tank, any DPS, not really worry about crowd control, not really worried. Like, you know, you can just like button mash. And then like going back to that kind of old, that old school feeling, you really feel like you've succeeded in the end.
Yeah. And I do like the idea of dipping back in and out, you know, knowing that I can, you know, work hard on, you know, like, I'll roll a new character and I'll enjoy sort of dipping in and out on that. But, and, you know, like, I even remember the fact that when I first got to 40, I still didn't have enough money to buy a mount, because money was so hard to come by.
I didn't even have enough money to buy riding. I remember I had to do the Dreadsteed quest, because I was a warlock.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I remember that one of the items that you need, I think it cost, it was either 1,000 gold or like 100 gold or something. And back then, that was a ludicrous, like, that was an unimaginable amount of money. I was like, I'm never going to get this mount. I'm never going to get Dreadsteed. And then one of my guildmaster was also a warlock, and I remember he lent me the item for free. And back then, you could sell it or lend it for like so much gold. And it was like such a nice thing that he did for me. And I had to go to Dye Mall, and oh, it was just the good old days, Seamus, the good old days.
And then one last thing that people can now get: Warcraft 1 and 2, the original Orcs versus Humans, Tides of Darkness, RTS on Good Old Games. I think that is, it's a really nice kind of
so
thing
good.
To just be able to actually run the old game on a modern machine, because that's one of the things I think sometimes people miss about what Good Old Games does, is that they do actually put in that bit of extra work to make sure that things will run on a new machine, even though it's an old game, and will, you know, fill your screen, even though the resolutions might be kind of slightly weird, but
super
it will run,
pixelated,
and it will,
like,
run properly. And it is kind of, you know, like, for me, I think having kids, you know, I want them to be able to sort of go and explore that old stuff, but having to kind of fight your way through installing that stuff is way too annoying. But this opens the door to actually going, here, look, I can install it easily for you. Now go and play it. And of course, yeah, they'll give up in 20 minutes because they're not that into
But that's
something
kids.
Quite that old. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll pick it up when they want to.
Yeah.
When they see daddy playing it.
Yeah. And look, my daughter is a massive StarCraft nerd now. So, you know, it's not that it's not that they don't like RTS. I just figure, you know, but I have a sneaking suspicion that I'm being rude, and that in fact they're actually really going to really going to like it, because they've also they've been immersed in the Warcraft lore as well because of, you know, all of it being around the house.
Yeah.
And so I think going back to the start, I think they'll really enjoy as well.
Yeah, or they'll do the opposite, but they're like, oh, Dad is so lame.
Yeah.
Like, you're so lame, like, I don't even like Warcraft.
Yeah.
Like, devastating how heartbroken you would be. Oh, no, I'm sure they'd be fab at it. And I'm excited for Warcraft 3 Reforged to come out. I think that's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for that. I think that's going
to
be fab.
I think the clips they've shown are really nice to show just how much work they've put into this sort of the like all new models and kind of the really beautiful kind of new stuff that they're adding to it to make it really pop. It's going to be a lot of fun to revisit that.
Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah. I'm really excited.
Cool. And then one last fun throwaway thing that I'm going to put a link into the show notes because it just caught my eye in terms of the amazing things that the community gets out there and does sometimes, right? Someone has gone into The Sims 4 and used it to the like most extreme extent of, I didn't even know that you could do more than just build houses and things
in
the
completely
standard way that you build houses. Sims 4, someone's built Booty Bay, Dalaran, and Darkmoon Fair as replica, beautiful, perfect, dare I say, replicas of these these zones, like these towns. It's completely incredible. And you have to watch these videos to capture it. And as we were saying before we started the show, you really did go all the way through the Dalaran video, was it?
I did. Yeah, I was sitting here and I was doing my auction house or my, you know, whatever it was, you know, my farming, if you will. And you sent me the link to it before the show, and I was watching it this morning, and I was like, oh my God, like, this is amazing. Like, it is incredible how much talent and vision and creativity people in this community have. And I just, like, I was watching, and I was like, this is fantastic. Like, if you watch it, there's so much detail, and she goes in, or he or she, they go in, and like the fountains, like the floors, like the roof's the right color, like she's got all the scaling right. It's just, oh, it was amazing. It was just fab. Like, just I was blown away by the creativity behind it. And it was also a very calming thing to watch in the background.
You're totally right. It's just like, it's a real pleasure. Let me just watch this person tinker away and make these cool things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was nice. It was pure and nice.
I feel like it's, right, like on one level it even kind of gives me a whole different respect to what The Sims 4 is capable of doing, as well as, as you say, I feel like this is one of those just great examples of this is what the internet is so good at, which is, you know, helping show off someone's creativity. And no doubt they've learned those skills by being part of that community of people who've learned how to put The Sims 4 through its paces to this extent. And then that crosses over into our wonderful Warcraft community, and suddenly you just get this lovely union of skills and creativity that just gives you the warm fuzzies.
No, it was just fantastic. It was just, what a good find. What a fantastic find. It was fab. I love it.
Cool. Look, we have had, you know, an awesomely long chat. I figured we should wrap up, but look, it's been great to catch up, and hopefully we'll catch up in human space sometime again soon, no doubt.
Sometime soon. Hope so.
Because that would probably mean that, you know, that Blizzard is throwing some kind of a cool event again sometime soon.
Exactly.
So, you know, fingers crossed. But really good to catch up with you again. And please tell listeners where they can track you down if they want to catch up with all your cool things on the internet.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can, the best place to find me is probably on Twitter. So it's at Ziana, so Z-H-I-A-N-A. And I'm also on Instagram at It's Ziana as well.
Cool. Ziana, thank you very much again for stopping by the Scrapyard.
Thank you very much for having me, Seamus. It's been a pleasure.